What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 42 of Value Town. I'm your host, Chan Man V. Joining me, as always, my partner in crime, co-host each and every week from TSM, Trump. How you doing, buddy?
Well.
Well. All right. Well met. Good stuff. Our guest today, Raynad, returning to the show from Team Tempo Storm, of course, owner, streamer, all that good stuff. How you doing today, Raynad?
I'm good.
All right, good stuff. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Construct Quarter. Yeah, of course, another release from Naxxramas this week, which is great. Love August and July because of this. And plenty to talk about. This is kind of the week that everybody's been waiting for. A lot of the really interesting cards for Naxxramas came out. And, you know, I'm really excited to get a chance to talk about decks that Raynad and Trump have been working on this week. I wanted to start off by just getting y'all's general opinion about the adventure mode itself and beating the heroic bosses and the class challenges themselves. So, Trump, what did you think of this week? We had four bosses this week instead of three.
Wow, so many bosses.
Yeah.
Much like the previous weeks, about two of them had a really... Two of them had a pretty novel thing, which was Patchwork and the final one, as usual, the Thaddeus.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, was good.
Okay, Raynad, what did you think?
Yeah, it was fun. They definitely seemed to be getting harder as the weeks progressed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the class challenges were really hard this time around. But, yeah, it was fun. I liked them. Patchwork was the coolest one. Whichever one had the meat hook and
it was definitely designed much different than a lot of the rest of them, right? Just given that there were a lot of parameters that were set that aren't typical, right, of just normal bosses. But yeah, Patchwork for me was the hardest too. What did you guys use to finish each one, Trump?
For Patchwork, I patched together some mage deck. I am using my Europe account on these, so I don't have all the cards. So I just built a aggro mage with a lot of guys who summoned guys, and then Fenrir Vargas, Sunfury Protector, and some Frostbolt and Ice Lance. And it was good.
Yeah. Would you use Raynad?
Nice suit for all of them.
Wow, that's nice. Yeah, I mean, aggro. I could see aggro working for all of them.
Shield Bear is OP.
Yeah, Shield Bear is OP. Okay, yeah, that would make sense, actually.
Really? Zoo worked for all of them?
I didn't actually try Zoo for the one that deals one damage to stuff, but I used it for the rest of them.
Grobulus,
it beat all the rest of them. I used Handlock for the other one, because Warlocks are sweet. That's about it. The one that deals one damage to everything, I used Handlock.
One damage?
He does two, right?
Playing on easy mode right now?
Yeah, we talking heroic or what, man?
I haven't done heroic yet, no.
What? Okay.
Oh, man.
Heroic's much harder, man.
I know. I did it for the first couple weeks. For this one, like, this set actually had cards that are relevant. I just wanted to get on ladder.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, good.
I did too. I spent like a day like on ladder, and then I went back to doing the heroic because I was just excited to try out the new cards. You got to do heroic, though, and then got to see what you use for it. I ended up using a combo of Mage and Priest, I believe. I think Mage for Patchwork, just with the freezing elements, and then I ended up using Priest for the rest of them. Including the hero challenges, too. How are the hero challenges for you, Trump?
The hero challenges are really easy.
I'm trying to remember, actually.
Either one or two shot them. I mean, they build a pretty relevant deck for you, and sometimes you get the worst cards that they put in, but usually pretty fair.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But it was really fun, though. I mean, I just like that they try to do a different flavor. They've done a really good job with the different flavors for each of the bosses, and it's kind of hard to do that, quite honestly. So they've done a really, really good job at that. And we still got two more left. We've got, Saffron? Or how do you pronounce that? Saffron?
Saffron.
Saffron, and then Kalthazad. So that's just going to be Kalthazad?
Yes. Yeah. Close enough.
All right. So one more release next week, and then we'll be, finished with with Naxxramas. We got the Paladin cards coming out, so you know, the Ooze is the big one. I think Ooze is going to be a really interesting card, and even just seeing Grobulus using Grobulus that used it a lot, right? In this adventure mode, that was kind of difficult at times. Whenever he got the buff and that sort of thing. So it should be good. We'll talk about it, obviously, next week, too. But the new cards, and, of course, the new cards, I think a lot of folks speculated that it was going to really affect the metagame this week or just moving forward. And I kind of wanted to see if you guys think that, I mean, or the results of it so far for you guys have been just that. Have you seen huge changes in the metagame? Raynad, I'll start off with you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was the first few hours were pretty crazy. Everyone was trying to put Undertaker into every class where it didn't belong, and that was surprisingly effective. I tried it myself in a lot of things, too. And then after that, it was just like, I think I played like 15 Warriors out of 20 games. And then so people were really liking the weapon. And Yeah. Then I've seen a lot of priests. Now it's back to kind of a variety of things. And Yeah, it's been pretty crazy swings. People just trying different things out. Everyone kind of started with Zoo, got disappointed, then tried other stuff. Man.
Trump, your observations of the metagame so far?
There is a lot of Hunter right now. Mm-hmm. And since this week was the Warrior and Priest class cards, there's no surprise that I noticed a surge in Priest and Warrior yesterday.
Yeah, so with
Amount of Undertaker and Mad Scientist experimentation also.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Hunter, Mad Scientist, you know, works with Hunter, right, with the secrets. I didn't actually think about Hunter originally when we were thinking of Scientist. I was thinking more about Mage. But we're going to talk about decks later, and Raynad's bringing a Hunter deck that has Mad Scientist, so we'll speak a little bit more about that. You know, a lot of people were talking about Zombie Chow, right? Just kind of going through, let's go through each of the cards and kind of what we've been seeing. Zombie Chow, I think a lot of people thought was going to be extremely powerful, like in various decks. I think even Zoo, you know, Zoo included in that, and maybe in tandem with Undertaker too. What do you guys think about Zombie Chow so far?
I'm impressed with him in Zoo. He's as good as I expected, and in control decks, he's a little bit less good than I expected. It's kind of underwhelming. A lot of matchups where he's just kind of dead, which is unfortunate.
Okay. Even in a control priest?
Yeah. And priest is the only control deck I've put him in so far. Okay. My warrior decks are like all hybrid aggro at this point. But yeah, I was like kind of underwhelmed by him. I kind of wish I had Holy Smite most of the time to have instead so that I could like trigger Pyromancer or something. Mm-hmm.
Trump?
That's true. It's not as good as I thought it was. And if you're streaming and you are playing Zombie Chow, you are the laughingstock right now because everyone's like, "What? Why would you pay mana to make your opponent gain 5 life?" They don't understand the glory of the Zombie Chow. I still hold my faith in it, and I will keep it in my priest control deck for now, and I am willing to admit that it may not be as good as I thought it was in all control decks. Mm-hmm. Great in Zoo.
Yeah. Priest makes sense because you can actually deal damage to your opponent, right? So be surprised if people didn't understand that, at least. I mean, looking at
it, it's a very minor part of it, but
yeah, true. Let's try and take a look at some of the other cards. Well, let's talk about a card that nobody talks about, the Wailing Soul. Have any of you guys actually tried this? And, you know, if you have, like, what kind of benefits or what kind of scenarios have you liked it?
This is a card that's kind of being released, like, I feel like one set too early, because there aren't quite enough cards in the game right now to synergize with it just yet. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much just Ancient Watcher for the good synergy. I did see Tides of Time, Hunter's Marked a Dancing Swords, and with an explosive trap out and passed. And then the other guy played Wailing Soul.
I don't know. I could see that.
Yeah, it's a powerful card. I don't know. It's just there's not enough things that work with it just yet. A lot of the death rattles are kind of have marginal drawbacks, not huge ones. But yeah, it's like only Ancient Watcher that has great synergy with it. And a lot of times you'd rather have Spellbreaker because It still works well with that, but you can also target their stuff. It's more flexible, even though the stats are worse.
Right. Trump, what do you think? Wailing Soul.
Plus one Raynad.
All right. Yeah, I feel like this card is coming out about a season and a half too late, because it would do great against Freeze Mage, and where just the freezing Frost Nova wouldn't even matter. But unfortunately, not many people are playing that at this point, so... we'll see if this becomes a little bit more powerful in the future. So we talked a little bit about Undertaker. You mentioned Undertaker, just everybody just playing it and everything. I think the reason people are playing it and everything is because it's a solid one drop that just gets buffed by virtually almost anything if you're playing an aggro deck at this point. So thoughts on Undertaker for aggro decks and just generally for any deck right now?
It's a really cool card because it's neutral. So like in every single class now, because of Undertaker and Zombie Chow, you can build it in a way that you have an aggressive early game curve. And a lot of people are experimenting with like Undertaker and Shaman, Undertaker. Mm-hmm. I was playing Undertaker Hunter before I arrived at the list that I did, and yeah, like I tried Undertaker Priest, tried it in everything because you can build any deck like Zoo now that you have a one drop for every class. And it was strong but kind of higher variance than I expected, because if it's in your opening hand, it's amazing in pretty much any deck you put it in. But when you draw it in the mid game or late game, a lot of decks just aren't built to take advantage of like a one mana 2/3 in the mid game, which is one of the reasons Zombie Chow is so underwhelming in control. Undertaker's the same thing. If it's not in your opening hand, it's just so weak that I ended up cutting it, because it's kind of like the Wild Growth Gambit. If it's in your opening hand, it's great, but if it's not, it's really underwhelming in most decks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trump?
Plus one Raynad.
I got a light lead with Trump next time. All right, next one, Mad Scientist. Trump, what do you think about Mad Scientist?
It's cool. People are trying it in decks with secrets, and they should.
Okay, I mean, is... okay. Value-wise, is it... I mean, or from the standpoint of building a deck, is it hard... Are there any things you need to take into account when using Mad Scientist, from the standpoint of maybe even just, like, burning through cards too quickly or anything like that? I mean, it's... Because just, I guess, from the surface, it seems like it's great value, right? Because you essentially get two cards from a two-mana card there, if I got 2/2. So what, any kind of things you have to take into account when you're playing Mad Scientist?
You should try to play it when you have at least one secret left in your deck, because hopefully that's the way you've built your deck.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have to... What do you think the minimum amount of secrets are that you have to run for it to be consistent enough to run in your deck?
2, 3.
Okay. I've tried it a little bit in Mage. It's been kind of hard, actually. I think it works a little bit better in Hunter right now, at least from what I've seen. But Aggro Mage actually works well. You know, having Undertaker and leading, and then just following up with Scientist, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have been a bit surprised by some of the decks I've played against, which are running the Mad Scientist. Mage is one of those classes in particular, which looks like it could be really helped with it. And perhaps even Duplicate is being used.
Yeah, Duplicate's great. Card draw, card draw mechanism for it. Almost guaranteed solid cards, because a lot of times you can determine what you're going to get with the really strong taunt cards and things like that. All right, so it looks like the next up, Fugin and Stalic, and Raynad.
I see how it is. I don't get a turn.
Oh, sorry, Raynad. Oh, it's a terrible. What do you think? What do you think of that
card?
This
is like the only card I wanted to talk about, actually.
Okay, awesome.
Well, this and the Fugin and Stalic. Yeah. So at first, we talked, like, on Last Valley Town about how good we expect these cards to be, and I thought Dark Cultist was going to be the best creature in the game.
Yep, but I remember that.
He's actually, I think, after playing with these cards, I think he's actually the second best creature in the game behind Mad Scientist.
Wow.
Who is, in my opinion, the best creature in the game. If you compare it to, like if there was a Loot Hoarder that had one extra health, I think it's safe to say it would be a 2-of in every single deck in the game. And then Mad Scientist not only draws you a secret, which in my opinion is comparable to a random card, because it's a secret is a card you would play in your deck in most cases anyway, like an explosive trap or a freezing trap, So it's already like on that level of would be a two of in every deck if it were like Loot Hoarder. But it doesn't just draw you the card, like it plays it for free. So you're drawing your card that you would be playing in your deck anyway, and then you're innervating to put it into play when it dies. It's absolutely disgusting. Like the games where you have it in your opening compared to the games where you don't, it's a huge difference, and it's not just like a marginal value, but it's like really, really strong. On top of that, I haven't even experimented with it in Mage yet, but I know that the way that is wrong to build it is with Curantor Mages and Real Arcanist and all that crap. Mm-hmm. The way you build it is with the Broken Secret, which is Ice Block. That card is game-breaking, right? So if you just play a Freeze Mage deck with four copies of Ice Block, like that's pretty strong in
my
opinion. You're guaranteed to draw two of them per game if you play two Mad Scientists in your deck. So yeah, I think that's more the way to approach it. But anyway, I've been super impressed with that card, and I think that the classes with secrets got way stronger. Like, the card was just so gross. That's why I think Hunter's the best deck. It's just like,
So you said four Ice Blocks?
Well, four copies, right? Like, you have 26... Like, if Ice Block is the only secret in your deck, right?
Yeah.
You have four copies of it. You won't trigger four times, but you will draw it twice as often as if you only played two of them. It's like you'll get both your Ice Blocks.
Oh, you're just saying the probability of getting it is much higher? Is that what you're saying? You don't get four copies of it.
No, you have two Mad Scientists and two Ice Blocks.
Yeah.
But, like, you play Mage, sometimes you don't draw both Ice Blocks.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so your probability is higher of getting it. Yeah,
if you play Mad Scientist, you'll always have two Ice Block.
Right.
Yeah. I got a rules question, by the way. Okay. Don't actually know. If you have an Ice Block out already, and you play Mad Scientist and it dies, what happens if you have another Ice Block in your deck?
It doesn't do anything. If that's your only secret. If that's the only secret you have left in your deck, and it's a repeat of what you already have equipped, it doesn't do anything.
All right.
So that kind of sucks. That's one thing. Well, okay, so I mean that's an interesting statement you made about it, Raynad, and I think I agree with a lot of it. But the thing about secrets, a lot of times, is it's very situational, right? To get like maximum effect. For instance, Freezing Trap, right?
If you're playing a terrible deck like Mage, I agree with you because the secrets are terrible and the class is terrible and all the cards are terrible. But if you're playing Hunter, like you'll be playing Explosives and Freezing Traps anyway, right? So like now you have this 2-mana 2/2 Loot Hoarder in your deck. Mm-hmm. That nobody can kill and nobody can ignore, and it's like the most frustrating thing to play against in the world. You just want it in every opening hand. And on top of that, you have Eaglehorn Bow, which just goes like,
oh, that's true.
That card just puts it in now. It's just 3-mana Pyroblast that you can split up among three creatures. Like, it's been pretty strong.
That's a good way to look at it. Sean, what are your thoughts on that, those comments about Mad Scientist?
I think that was a good description, and my opinion of the card has gone up as a result.
Okay. All right, good stuff. All right, next up, we got Fugin and Stalag. And I know Raynad has a lot of comments on it, but Trump, I want to get your opinion on those two cards first, and then we'll end with Raynad.
Okay. I've always said that if there were decks that would run these, it would probably be the late-game control decks, and I wasn't sure on whether or not they would be viable. Raynad has a strong opinion on it, though.
Mm-hmm. Raynad?
Yeah, I think they're awesome. Like, any deck that's slow should be playing them. I think they're the best finisher in the game. Because up until these cards were released, people were playing random expensive dudes in their decks. Cairn Bloodhoof, Ragnaros. Like, those cards are inconsistent, and some of them, like Ragnaros and Ysera and Alexstrasza, they just cost too much to ever come out against a deck like Zoo. Like, you'll just never play them. These cards don't have that problem. Like, in a long game, they ensure that you have inevitability. So if the game goes long, like, you will eventually kill them. It's too much value to ignore or overcome for most decks.
Mm-hmm.
Then against aggro, you have, like, a 5-mana 4/7, which, unlike Alexstrasza, you can actually plop down on the board and do something with in the early game, which is a lot stronger than, like, just random expensive legendaries. And more consistent than cards like Ragnaros. So I've been playing it in Priest, Warrior. I'm playing it in, like, a lot of stuff. They've been really good. I've been really happy with them.
What's the percentage of what percentage of the time do you actually get Thaddeus?
50.
Wow, 50. That's pretty awesome. I mean, I haven't actually gotten a chance to try them yet, but I tried those two yet in my control decks. But 50% getting an 11-11, that's amazing.
There's like only three outcomes. You die before you get the 50s, before you get them. You kill them before you trigger the second one, or you kill them with the Thaddeus. And yeah, it's really surprising, like how, like if your deck, if things are going as planned for your deck, then yeah, it'll trigger like most games that you win, I would say.
So just to clarify, if you silence one of them, then Thaddeus just is not possible, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you see that happening at all, or a lot, or nope?
No, I've had my opponent play one half of the combo a lot, and then I get Thaddeus by only playing one piece.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Oh, that's crazy. Actually, because they both synergize with each other, or your opponent synergizes with you. That's crazy.
This one time he brawled and I had both out. That was fun. I had two Thaddy.
Wow. Two Thaddy. Oh my god.
Sweet.
That is a dream. Yeah, totally. That's dream scenario. Crazy. Well, I can't wait to run it. Have you actually run it, Trump, or at all? Or
I haven't had the bravery to try it yet. But yeah. I'd also like to mention before there are riots that you have to silence the second one.
Oh, the second one.
The first one getting silenced doesn't matter at all.
Right. That's true. Okay. Well, I can't wait to do that.
Plus the aforementioned brawl and double death case, in which you only get one Thaddeus if one of them is silenced.
Only.
Right, only. Yeah, only. Exactly. Okay, well, definitely try that, guys. Try that out, guys, if you haven't tried out Vegan and Stalic. And then let's finish off with the classes. You know, you talked about Dark Cultist. You said it's the second best card now, Raynad, instead of the best, but you still feel very, very highly about it. So let's talk about that. And I guess the best way to use it currently with the priest archetypes we've seen. I don't know. Actually, Trump, we're going to actually talk about it with your deck, but do you still see it as being like a broken card, Raynad? Because last time you were on, that's what you called it. Okay.
Yeah, it's the second best creature in the game. I'm pretty sure Mad Scientist should or will get nerfed to like drawing the secret instead of playing it, but Dark Cultist is just, it's as good as I expected. It's broken. It's Mad Scientist was astronomically better than I expected. I feel silly for not seeing it earlier, but yeah, Dark Cultist has been incredible. Like every time I play it, I tried building decks to like fully maximize his utility. So I was playing like Undertaker Priest with Ancient Watcher package as well. So the deck was like all 30 cards were 2-card combos. It was like Undertaker plus Death Rattle dudes. Then it had Watcher Sun Fury. Then you could like Sun Fury or Nerubian Egg. Your Nerubian Egg would buff your Undertaker. Your Crazed Alchemist would trigger your Nerubian Egg and help your Shadow Priest work. And it was like, yeah. And the whole deck was just bad zoo because your hero power didn't synergize with it at all. But it was cool. And yeah, anyway, I just put Dark Cultist in a normal priest deck and it was a 3-4 for 3 with the Death Rattle for some reason. And that card was real. Yeah.
Yeah. Trump, thoughts on it? I mean, you're running it in your priest, so it's kind of a precursor to the deck talk, but
yeah, it's somewhat straightforward in that it's just a 3-mana 3-4 most of the time. And that's good enough, and when it does trigger, it's really good. And it does help to play a card like Zombie Chow just to make sure that it has a target more likely.
Okay. Good stuff. And then Warrior, last thing, it's going to be Deathbite. I think every Warrior player has been looking forward to this one. Just another weapon at 4 that has a lot of comboing ability, too, with the second swing of it. Thoughts on the results of this card so far, Trump?
I gotta admit, this card I had, when we talked about it, like when we first reviewed like most of the next cards a month ago or whatever, said, nah, it's probably going to see at least one copy in Warrior decks. But that was probably too tame a read, and I think it's a 2-of in every Warrior right now. It's one of those cards where when you see it in practice, it's even better because it's like, oh, the first attack it's 4, and the second attack it's 5, and that's not even describing the full extent of it.
Right.
So it's strong.
Right, Ned?
Oh, yeah. I think my opinion at the time was it was like the second best class card behind Dark Cultist. I still stand by that. It's really, really strong. Yeah. I mean, it's true silver champion with like, but better. Like, it kills Yeti on the second hit. It has Whirlwind, it has Enrage synergy, Acolyte synergy, like just kills them with Grommash and Turn 8. It's dumb. Yeah, it's a really good card.
I've died from that girl lash combo a lot. That second swing, oh my god, so good. Yeah, I agree too. I think that card's been amazing for the Warriors, and you don't have to change much too. That card is like easy to add to the current control warrior too, and just to improve it. But okay, well, anyways, that's gonna conclude the meta segment for today. We're gonna actually go into talking about the decks. So, Reynad and Trump each brought a deck that they've been playing, working on the ladder, and we're gonna talk a little bit about it. Obviously, some cards that we just mentioned are gonna be included. And let's start off with Reynad, your Hunter deck that we have here on the left. It has a lot of things that we've seen, you know, just with the Hunters recently, just the mid-range. But you do have that Mad Scientist in there, so talk about it.
Yeah, I wanted to climb really high on ladder today because I found that ladder was easiest, like, right after they release a wing. Like the past 2 weeks in a row, every Wednesday, I've hit rank 2 in NA. And so I was playing a lot, right? And I started with Zoo, and then that deck took me from, like, 300 to 50, but it kind of plateaued. So I tried Priest, and then that tanked me to 300, but then it brought me back up to 15, and then that plateaued, and eventually I tried Hunter, and at first I tried like Undertaker plus Leper Gnome, so it was more aggressive. Then I just realized those Undertaker is just like really awkward when you draw it in the mid game and late game, so I just cut it and played all the good cards. So it's just like the old Hunter deck with Web Spinner, all the mid range creatures that are good, Houndmaster, Savannaheim, and all that late game stuff. Then it has Mad Scientist and these traps that you're kind of okay with playing anyway. That really pushes it over the top, because now you're playing a class that was already the best class in the game before this week, and then you're putting the best creature in the game into it. And then the traps shore up your Zoo matchup, which lets you cut cards like Timberwolf for more broken cards against control. And I went 19-1 with it on ladder.
Wow.
Up to rank 5. And then I stopped playing because I promised on Twitter that I would stream. And then I started at rank 3 today, and then I streamed for 2 hours and we hit legendary. I think it went 18-3, I want to say. So I think it's really good. I'm also extremely sleep deprived. I've been awake for like 24 hours now, so I'm sure I wasn't playing my best. But yeah, the deck is pretty dumb, I think. It's just really, really
37
good.
37-4,
right,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's on stream. On stream games don't count. Those are games where your opponent knows every card in your hand.
But you're still like 18-3 with people net deck or stream sniping you here. It's like crazy.
And that scientist doesn't care. Bill Nye gets in for 6 or just values him to death. It's like a card is so sick.
So what'd you replace? I'm trying to see what you replaced. You know, from the traditional, or just not the traditional, but what we've seen.
The fact that you have to think about it means it's
that's true. It's probably, it's Boar.
There's nothing you're missing.
Yeah, I think it's Boar and Wolf. Wolves, I think.
Yeah, it's Boar, Timberwolf, Direwolf, Deadly Shot,
yeah.
IMB, one
of Toto.
Oh, there's
no Deadly Shot in here? Oh my gosh, okay. Interesting.
That's a really clean deck. The two flares are like the part that a lot of people would ask, why aren't those tracking? Well, they're not tracking because about a week from now, once everyone starts copying this and starts pretending that I always thought Mad Scientist was broken,
right,
this will be everywhere. And because its only bad matchup is the mirror,
yeah,
you need flare instead of tracking. And there's just no room for other stuff because you need all these cards. So if you want, unless you want to shave like a kill command or something, that's why there's no tracking.
Okay. Yeah, definitely looks good. Nice and clean. Nice and short, too. This deck is tiny. I can't wait. I think a lot of people are going to probably be trying it right after this show. Maybe seeing a lot more Hunters. Like we haven't seen enough Hunters already on the ladder. Hunter's been strong this entire season. Mm-hmm. But all right, let's talk about Priest. And Trump, you brought your Priest here to talk about. And got the Dark Cultist in there. But you know, a lot of things look pretty similar to, I guess, the Priest that you've been playing for some time, or at least this season so far. So why don't you talk a little bit about this?
Okay, I will prelude this by saying I've got a bad feeling about this, since that Hunter deck does look really good. And the Priest has had quite some issues with the Hunter as of late. That said, I did climb up to rank 2 Legend at one point with a Priest deck, but that was against the more Zoo-heavy metagame. So recently, I've been having my doubts with that. But out of the way of that, this deck it's got some unfairness going for it. You've still got the Arcanine Circle, which I did consider cutting for the Dark Cultist and Zombie Chow, but instead of cutting that combo, I decided to cut a copy of Holy Fire, a copy of Holy Nova, an Earthen Ring Fireseer, and a Death Lord. Death Lord is one of those cards that is really bad against the more usual Hunter, but this one only has two Mark and no Kodo, so not as bad, but I still see Marks, Kodos, and Deadly Shots around.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
It has the basic control plan still. You try to weather the storm. The Zombie Chow doesn't matter for the opponent's gaining life because you pretty much will at one point either strongly control the board and then you will kill them at your leisure, or they will kill you, and it's just useful to have an early drop so that you can curve out nicely and perhaps your Dark Cultist will buff your Zombie Chow, and that's pretty good when that happens. It plays as you would expect of a control deck, with extra bonuses. Sometimes you get stuff to be really imbalanced when you have a cleric and then you heal with Circle of Healing for free, or you have Arcanine Soul Priest and you Flame Strike.
Okay, so one of the things that I think Amaz mentioned when he was on Value Town was, I think his knee-jerk reaction was just to replace the injured Blade Masters with the Dark Cultists, just because he felt like the Dark Cultists was just a little upgrade to it. But you've actually included both. So, why do you feel like it's necessary to keep both instead of, maybe keeping that Holy Fire, which is, pretty key for removal in the mid. Just kind of mid to late game.
I'm very fond of the Injured Blade Master. I think it goes well with Circle of Healing. Obviously it does. And the problem with that, though, is that it is a bit vulnerable to the Hunter in that they can just Hunter's Mark or Deadly Shot it. And the Hunter is rising in popularity. So I can see that. However, I think in general, Injured Blade Master holds a really strong spot in the Priest, but I'm not absolutely in love with it, and I could see perhaps changing that out.
Okay. Raynath, what do you think of this Priest deck?
I like the parts that we're both playing. I like to see, because it means that those parts are probably correct, but I'm also playing Blademaster with Cultist. Personally, I'm playing two Shadowward Pain. And I would play two Shadowward Pain before the first copy of Holy Smite. Deathlord, I think, is absolute trash. I would never put that card in my deck after playing with it a lot. Azurdrake also, I think, is a little too slow. So, my list is very similar. It looks like it's a solid deck. The Priest is really good. Instead of the Ragnaros and Sylvanas, I'm playing Foig and Stalag. Zero Azurdrake. Yeah. I do play a Lotheb, because a lot of times you can, around turn 8, you can play Lotheb Dark Cultist, since you have more mid-rangey dudes. Whenever you play a creature alongside Lotheb and you're ahead on board, it's just too powerful. So it also shores up the rogue matchup, which can be tough. Other than that, it's pretty similar, yeah. Just pretty much the Shadowed Pain and then the win condition. I only play one Thought Steal, two Smite. Those are the cards I go back and forth on. Sometimes I play one Smite, two Thought Steal. Depends on how much control there is and stuff. But yeah, it's a good
one Thought Steal. It's like blasphemy, man, as a priest.
That's blasphemy.
It's only good in some matchups, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. So Deathlord, the biggest benefit of Deathlord in this.
Biggest benefit of Deathlord is it's extremely strong against two. Biggest downside of Deathlord is it's extremely weak against Hunter and Warrior. Mm-hmm. And I will admit that Hunter and Warrior are quite popular as of late. So I understand the concern about it. And oftentimes against Hunter and against Warrior, I will find it dead in my hand, and I have considered cutting this second copy of it. Mm-hmm. I used to run two copies, and it carried me, so there's a little bit of warmth remaining, but I understand that was during the heyday of Zoo. Mm-hmm. As for the Shadowward Pains, I understand it's a pretty good card. However, I think that Smite works better with Pyromancer. Also, I run two copies of Cabal Shadow Priest. Your deck over there with the Hunter actually has nothing that can be Shadowward Pained. I mean, that can't be Cabal Shadow Priest, and I understand that Shadowward Pain is a lot faster, but I find I don't need it that quickly. I've also mentioned that I really like Cabal Shadow Priesting Mad Scientists.
Yeah.
As far as Fuegan Stalag versus Sylvanas Ragnaros, I think that's an interesting call, and you'll have more 5 drops, so I can then understand cutting the Azure Drakes. But then what are you going to use for card draw? If you even need it.
Nothing. No, you don't need it. Your hero power is an 8 card advantage, because Priest has the best scaling hero power in the game.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's an interesting way to look at that. You still have, what? You still have two from the shield, and probably going to get one, on average, one from the clerics, too. So 4 there.
Yeah. Those are, like, cycling, not really card advantage. Like, cleric will either replace itself by drawing 1 card, or it will draw 10. It's, like, not... There's no 10, really.
Yeah. This thought still gives you at least, you know, a few, too, even though it's not necessarily synergistic with your hand. Yeah, there's plenty, actually, in here.
If you, like, ever get ahead on board on a turn, then your hero power becomes draw a card every turn. Because if you're ever ahead on board, like, you have a cultist, they don't, because they don't have a cultist, because the card's broken. You kill their guy, and you heal it. And they kill their other guy, and you heal it. And, yeah, sometimes you're picking off, like, 1/3 of Haunted Creeper a turn, but over the course of, like, 10 or 12 turns, that ends up being a lot of board presence and a lot of cards. So, yeah, mine's, like, more of a fast priest deck, I guess. Yeah, like, Zombie Chow is the one card I wasn't sure about. I'm pretty sure I'm going to cut him, because I think with 2 Shadowward Pain and 2 Holy Smite, that's enough early game. And, yeah, my thing with Deathlord, too, is, like, since I think it's definitely right to play 2 Shadowward Pain, so I have, like, 4 cheap spot removal spells, even with 2 Shadow Priests, I think that the Zoo matchup is good enough that I don't need to, like, beat up on that deck more. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to, like, shore up the harder matchups, which are Warrior, honestly, lately. A matchup used to be unlosable. Now it's, like, really hard. They're way more aggressive. So when they play Spectral Knight, it's been a hit.
So Zombie Chow, you know, we've been talking about just the pretty standard turn 1 Zombie Chow into a Dark Cultist that can possibly, you know, buff up Zombie Chow. Do we ever see the scenario, you know, that a lot of people were talking about with Aconite Soul Priest and doing 10 damage potentially with it? Does that ever happen in the game, Trump?
I have not personally done it yet. However, when I draw the Zombie Chows late and I still have a Circle and an Aconite, I will sometimes think about doing that instead of playing the Zombie Chow. However, it has not occurred yet.
Mm, okay. So not really that viable of a play, I guess, from what people were originally looking at that card. Okay, cool. So I guess before we conclude, any other decks that you guys, you know, obviously we're not taking a look at, but any other decks have been interesting you so far?
Warrior's really strong.
Yeah.
Aggressive Warrior, like 2 Corcron, a bunch of weapons, Leeroy. It's really good.
Yeah. Any fun kind of enraging type of Warrior you tried?
In order to fit in Enrage cards, you need to cut good cards. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's like for every Imani Berserker you want to put in your deck, you have to cut like an Armor Smith or a Frothing Berserker or something. Something. Removal. I'm just a big fan of playing like cards are good all the time. No situational cards.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trump, any other deck that you've been playing around with?
No, I've just been playing this one. However, from what I've seen, I think that Major Secrets and the Mad Scientist looks like it has potential. And I also agree that Warrior has a lot of potential. And I'm biting my tongue on this Hunter deck. Like, I think it's really good, but I...
It looks really good. I mean, it looks really good.
Because it's such a predator to this Priest deck that I'm just sad. That's all. But hey, you gotta move with the times.
Yeah, that's just... And then, you know, somebody will figure out something that counters this Hunter, and then you can go back to this Priest deck, basically. At least that's how it's happened in the past with the metagame. Yeah. But good stuff. I mean, definitely a good time. It's definitely a great time in the meta. We're seeing, like, lots of stuff. I've been trying to make a mage work. It's been pretty hard. I mean, the aggro mage actually does work kind of nicely, but I've been trying to make a more control type of mage work, and that is just super hard. So I might actually end up giving up on it, but it has been fun trying to get the legend with mage this season. So we'll see if that ends up happening. Okay, guys, we're going to go into some Q&A. Actually, before we do that, we're going to take a quick break, but want you guys to go ahead and tweet me your questions at ChamMV, and we'll try to get to as many as we can. But we'll be right back after this. All right, guys, we're back and going to be doing some Q&A with you guys. See some questions here on Twitter. If you guys want to ask your questions, go ahead and tweet me at ChainManV, and we will try to read them out. From the EUD, he asks, do you guys think that this expansion opens up the top 16 to free to play players? Or maybe do you think do you think these free expansion or these expansion cards really help free to play players right now?
Yeah, I mean they're the first link's accessible for free. It can't hurt. I mean, does he mean like top 16 in terms of getting top 16 on ladder?
I mean, I think that was probably just more of a joking type of thing. But I think that a better question is just like free to play generally. Has it been a lot? Is it better now with Nax versus pre-Nax?
I'd say so. I mean, with enough arena, you can. You get access to so many like top tier cards, right? Like just from unlocking Nax. Like almost every card except like Stone Skin Gargoyle is like very strong. It's like Gargoyle and my Axe now are like the only two bad ones. So yeah, I think it's a very cost effective way of getting top tier cards.
Okay, cool. Trump, you've done a lot of free to play, so actually recently.
Yeah, I mean I heard free to play I was immediately going like, oh, but then you won't get the next cards because that requires 700 gold. But yes, you can save that up if you're good enough in arena. You can selectively choose the wing that you want. Like, you can do your research beforehand on which of the cards you want. For example, if you were to want to build Raynad's Hunter deck, you could just do the Construct Quarter for the... Well, not the Construct Quarter. Which one was the Mad Scientist?
Yeah.
What was this one called?
Is this one, right?
Yeah, it's this one. It's this one.
Oh, yeah. Construct Quarter. Then you'd want to do the Construct Quarter just as an example. And the free one is the Creeper, and then the Web Spinner is one of them. Okay, I guess that's a bit spread out, but yeah, you can pick and choose. So it does help in that sense. Will you hit top 16? Like, suppose you were to use the Hunter deck we were talking about, and then you don't have Lotheb and Leeroy. I think it's still possible.
Yeah. I just want to say that like getting top 16 on a free-to-play account is not only like possible, but it has been done countless times. Garo, when I tried him out for the team, had a free-to-play North America account where he got rank 3 in NA 2 seasons in a row playing basic Hunter, like with no Leeroy.
Nice.
Like top 3 legend. Like that's, yeah, on a free-to-play account, like twice. And he's not the only one that's done it. I know of other players that have done it. Their names don't come to mind off the top of my head because they're not players I know personally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've heard lots of people getting it for free.
Okay. I mean, that's good.
No, I didn't know you had to buy all the wings in order. Okay.
Yeah, you have to buy them. And yeah, you have to... They only unlock, like, sequentially, so...
You can ignore what I just said, then.
Yeah, correct.
It's kind of... see. Jay Crawford, who's DarkYoda19 on Twitter asks... he has a lot of explanation of his, I guess, free-to-play account, but he says, at Trump, I've been using your Google site basic decks for some time. Wait, but sometimes straight value doesn't seem to work. Okay. Well, that's not a question so much. Here's his question. This is just the first adventure. Once Blizzard releases more card expansions and adventures, will this ultimately force players to spend money to even compete? And I guess that kind of leads back to what you were saying, Raynad. Is it going to be like other games, like, you know, just like Magic and such, where I guess the gap is just going to continue to increase as more cards come out?
Yeah, I mean, how much money do you spend on like StarCraft and an expansion in order to play the game? You know, it's like a comparable amount of money could be put into Hearthstone cards, and you know, you'd have access to just about anything you need to be able to climb.
Not to mention, you can actually earn the gold playing the game too, guys. I mean, you know, not only just arena, you can actually just grind ladder and get enough gold. I mean, the cap is like 300 a day, I think, or something like that. Like, I there is a cap for sure per day, but each one only,
I think.
Is it 100?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 100? Okay, never mind.
It's 100 for the 10 gold thing, but then you get quests and stuff. And
yeah, okay, yeah, so if on the top of the quest, yeah, okay, so there's 100, okay, so for the 10, every 3 wins. Yeah, so you can, you know, maybe worst case scenario, well, not worst case, but maybe an average scenario, you can get a wing after just grinding for a week, which is nice. You know, you don't have to spend the money if you don't want, and that's why it's not... That's kind of why it's like in this kind of weird state, whether it's like, is it pay to win or is it free to play? It's kind of in this in between state because you can actually earn enough in game currency to do it. But yeah, so you know, it's just, I guess, just keep playing ladder, man, and you'll end up being able to unlock a lot of these things. See, next up we got.
I mean, on that topic, yeah. I have a UU account, which I did a free to play shaman way back in the day, mm-hmm. and. That got to legend, but ever since then, I have just been doing, like, one arena on average a day on it, and now I've accumulated, like, a ridiculous amount of gold, and that's just through a combination of arena wins and the daily quests, which are a good amount as well. Mm-hmm. And then you get, like, you get cards sometimes as rewards, you get a package time, and I can probably build any 3 decks, I would like to think. Off of that account now. So,
nice.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Trump has a very direct line whenever he's building it from scratch, you know, just because you know exactly, you probably know exactly what you're going to do from the standpoint of crafting cards. I mean, that's what you end up crafting a lot of cards, right? Whenever you're, do you craft any cards when you're doing this? Specific ones just to try to make it as efficient as possible?
Yeah, I mean, you try to do the opening the packs first, and then sometimes you get lucky, mm-hmm. especially on the commons, and then you craft the remainder.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. A question from Sumadin. A question for Trump and Raynad. Fugue in the style, like, hell, well, we already talked about it. Have you tried it? Is it worth it? It's obviously good. Crockford Jack asks, has Hunter taken the tier 1 spot after the release of the fourth wing? I think Raynad would say yes.
I haven't found anything that beats it yet, or I haven't found anything it loses to yet. Well, I know a deck it would lose to, but I don't want to say because I don't want people playing it.
Right. I really
I'll
like
play it.
You play it once, let people figure it out on their own. I really like playing as Handlock, but don't have Leroy. How well can the deck work without the burst from T-Shades?
Pretty well. It's still fine. Play Sunwalkers and stuff instead. It just opens up room for more taunts.
Yeah, I agree with that. We actually saw some of that towards the end of last season. Why isn't Shaman played more with the new cards? Are they capable of being seen competitively, constructed? Well, that's a good question. Like, I haven't seen very many Shaman, at least the last few days. I don't know, have you guys seen a lot of Shaman with Baron and Reincarnate and all that good stuff?
I actually ran into a huge train of Shaman recently.
Okay.
And yeah, seems to the basic Shaman that we all know and love is still working well. And sometimes it gets a little spicy, throws in a Reincarnate here and there on one of the good targets to Reincarnate, like Sylvanas or Karen, or even Rubian Egg. So it's good. It's fine.
Raina?
Pretty good deck. Like, it's an interesting deck to experiment with. I think this wing indirectly could have made Shaman really strong, which is kind of surprising because you get Undertaker and Zombie Chow now if you want it, which you didn't really have one drops except Argent Squire before, and these are much stronger, so maybe that makes it good enough to, you know. I definitely think Shaman's just getting faster and faster with more cards being released. And traditionally, it has a bad matchup against Hunter, but if you have a bunch of cheap big creatures, like curving Undertaker into like Haunted Creeper and Unbound Elemental, that could race Hunter. Could be enough pressure that it's too annoying to kill everything. You get Hex for the big guys. Might be good.
Yeah. Chicharito asks, question for Raynad. What do you need to successfully form and manage a Hearthstone team? Wow, that's a big question.
Yeah. Did he say successfully? Probably not the right one. Not the right person to ask.
Wow.
It's you need players, right? You need players capable of winning tournaments. Because you need to win tournaments in order to get invited to bigger tournaments, basically. Beyond that, it's just like a matter of what you're trying to provide your players, you know? Like, salarying out of pocket doesn't really make sense for a lot of people. It's like if you're trying to run it as a business, you need sponsor contacts. I mean, I would just say get some solid players, work on networking, and just work on marketing, you know? Get your name out there, get people to not just know the name of your team, but the players on your team. And, yeah.
Okay, yeah, good advice. Next up, we got... Okay, Stagnusol asking about the flares. I think we answered this flares for tracking question. Clay Standen HD asks, what do you think of the potential of Echoing Ooze and Zoo? What would you cut to fit it in?
Card is broken. Oh, man, that card is good. There's, like, four slots that aren't good right now. There's, like, 26 cards I think every Zoo deck should play. And the other four are up in the air.
Which one are those? Which ones are those?
Okay, so Zombie Chow Undertaker, Voidwalker Flame Imp.
Oh, I mean, what are the four that you wouldn't that you would draw?
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, I mean, 26. My list, I mean, they always change, right? That's the
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
In my list right now, they're Power Overwhelming, Void Terror, I'm trying. Mm-hmm. But that could be, like, Shattered Sun, plus the second Argent Squire, plus, like, a Black Knight or something. It could mm-hmm. be anything. It could be Mortal Coils, which were good for me recently. Yeah, those two of those slots. Basically, once Echoing Ooze comes out, you're up to 28 cards that I think are core in the deck. I've been shaving Argent Squires and Abusive Sergeants myself lately. Too underwhelming. But Echoing Ooze is pretty sick.
Yes, definitely sounds sick. Trump?
Yeah, it is. Just even when you play it on base, it's really good. You buff it even a little bit, and the value is really, really strong. Natural fit in Zoom. Could fit in quite a few decks, potentially. Decks.
Yeah, maybe even like a aggro pally, too. With some of the...
And control.
Yeah, or it's a buff deck.
Yeah, just a straight buff deck.
Just comparing it to old Novice Engineer, it's like it's really similar, I think. It draws you a 1-2 Wisp.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely like that card a lot. It's my favorite animation, too. It's cool. Let's see.
Card has caused the end of many players when you're playing against Grobulus.
Yeah, definitely. 5-6 taunts, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
OP.
Exactly. You can at least do 5-6s with Blessing of Kings, but like
that's
in the actual game.
You can do the same thing as Grobulus, just costs one more mana.
Yeah, exactly. No taunt, too, but yeah, it's nice. Let's see. Okay, so Tom Berg, or Wrigley Kid, asks, I've been trying to make Fugin and Stalag fit in Handlock. Do you think this deck... do you think the deck works in this meta?
Handlock is a good deck, but you shouldn't put Fugin and Stalag into it because Handlock isn't a control deck. Like, you're playing your threats on turn 4, so on turn 5, you want to be playing cards that get you not killed. So, Sludge Belcher is more of the effect you're looking for instead of another giant animal in your giant animals deck that can make a giant or animal.
Yeah.
So I would recommend like more defensive cards after turn 4. Sunwalker, Sludge Belcher, if you're looking for creatures.
Mm-hmm. Trump, anything to add to that?
As well put, the unfairness of Handlock is your ability to put out those giant things for cheap, and Stalag and Fugin aren't that cheap. You want to put out the things for cheap and then protect the things like Sun Fury Defender,
mm-hmm.
or Sludge Belcher.
Well, speaking of Handlock, there's a question I figured I'd just kind of attach to this one from Sheep Metal. He asked, what do you think the future of Handlock is with just all these new cards? Trump, I'll kind of start with you.
I think it is... The decks you see right now in the tournament versions are, I would imagine, about good. I don't think any of the cards from this week or next week offhand will affect it.
Okay.
I feel like I've played this deck more than most people alive. I've been playing this since like test season 1 a lot.
Right.
And I think the future of it is going to become an even more robust deck to the point where it might even be able to compete with previously unwinnable matchups like Hunter, because with more cards getting released, it's becoming less and less one-dimensional. Like, people are adopting the Leroy Burst combo, which is finishing games a lot sooner than it used to. You're starting to see less Force of Nature and Druid decks. That also, like, helps it. Sludge Belcher gives you a good defensive 5-drop finally, so you don't have to play 2 copies of Faceless. I think in the future, before Naxxramas even came out, I was already cutting both of my defenders from my Handlock deck. Don't know why people still play that card. It's absolutely trash. But the future will be only 2 Sun Fury once people adopt it, and then other, like, it's just becoming like a more robust deck, if that makes sense. It's more of like a, after you play your big guy on turn 4, you're playing like more resilient threats instead of hoping that you draw the right removal for their dudes. And like sometimes you just draw 1 Twilight Drake and the rest of your hand is awkward Hellfires and Shadow Flames. Like that's how it used to be. Now, you know, you're never going to just be drawing dead once they deal with your big guy. You have so many other plays.
It's not so much all in on just the big giants, and there's kind of a mid game at times. Like a lot of times you can put pressure with a lot of those Belchers and those minions you were talking about, but it is really refined, and that's the thing. Like, what does Handlock need right now to, I mean, what holes, I guess, can you even shore up right now? Because it has been here for a long time, and it's kind of like, you know, druid decks we talked about, and you know, just decks have gone through many iterations, and they're hard to change. Shaman too. It's just really hard to change right now. So what do you see as something that could improve Handlock?
Life gain. It just needs like better life gain. Farseer is a terrible card that you have to play. If it was like, you know, Tauren Warrior? That's his name, right? The 2/3 taunt guy? That guy gained 3 life instead of having Enrage. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it needs.
Interesting. Trump? Can you think of anything that anything that Handlock really needs to put it, I don't know, make it, to improve it? Because it's so hard to do it right now.
Well, I mean, this would be incredibly unfair for Zoo as well, but it could use some cheap things which do awesome things. For example, Soulfire.
Okay. So more defensive or just even minions on the board?
I mean, anything that costs low cost and has a substantial effect, perhaps even with a massive drawback.
Okay. All right, so KeyColeNA asks, have you talked about a control or mid-range pally, like Forsen's? Oh gosh, like Forsen's one that has Watchers, Dancing Swords, and the Wailing Soul. I'm like having to translate this. I don't think he's probably from a different country. Have you seen this type of pally deck? I've never tried this one or even seen it. One that has Watchers, Dancing Swords, and actually we haven't even talked about Dancing Swords, but have you seen anything like this, Trump?
No, I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, we're gonna need Forsen.
That has it either.
No, I'm ranked 2/5.
Ranked 2/5. Man, they're talking about Forsen's, man, playing it. But Dancing Swords, we might as well talk about Dancing Swords a little bit because we haven't talked about it actually since it's come out. Is there any deck that's it's really viable with just in, because it is a 4/4 at 3, right?
Yes.
Okay, I guess that answers the question. Is there any type of deck archetype you could see it working, or you would actually consider running it?
Rectal is playing a Nagra Rogue, and I think that's probably the best home for it, because it's another dude to trigger your Undertaker, and you're already playing Cold Light Oracle. You don't really care about the card disadvantage, so yeah, that's probably the best place to put it.
Okay.
But in terms of playing like a bad card in your deck that you need another bad card to get rid of the drawback on your bad card for, that's going too far, I think, because normal control pattern, I have a really hard time finding room for cards I want to play even without an axe in that deck. So many good things to play. I don't know where you find room for Dancing Swords and stuff, and it doesn't seem like it really helps a control shell. It's like, it sounds like the definition of a deck trying to be like more different than good, which is like not a good reason to make it.
Right.
Make card changes, I think. Like just being different for the sake of being different, I guess.
Yeah. That happens, you know, just during this phase too, when there's so many new, and it's good. I think it's good to go through that phase of just experimentation, just crazy experimentation, so that you may find something that wasn't obvious at all. Okay, Shali 1989. How well will Kel'Thuzad fit into constructed decks? Any theories on nice combos that can be used with it? I forget what Kel'thas Ed's going to do here. Oh, Kel'thas Ed's the one where it all the minions that die that turn come back, right?
Yeah. That card's sweet. I'm going to try to make that work as much as I can. I don't know where or how or in what deck, but it's really cool. Something with creatures that die a lot. I mean,
it comes back in its original form, or...
Yeah, like the hard part about using it is you want to like suicide a bunch of creatures for value and then play Kel'thas Ed. And the hard part of that is you need creatures that live for a turn so they can attack, right? So
yeah,
if you play Worgen Infiltrator, Shaedin Exoramus, like just taunts, maybe you just throw it in Zoo. I don't know. It's strong though. I'm sure there will be some home for it.
Could work in Shaman, like when you have one of those turns where you're getting value from the totems. That could be nice. Just refills your port instantly. That's crazy. Trump, any thoughts on Kel'thas Ed or maybe some already obvious applications of it?
I mean, I think it's trash. Okay. But I understand that it's worth trying. And just like Forsen with his dancing swords and wailing his soul, I will say that with these decks, when you try them out and they're not obvious, you'll learn things you never knew. You never knew.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about we'll get to about? Let's do three more. Some of these are really fast. Spirit Link Films asks, how do you feel about another version of the Warlock? And he cites particularly the one that Reels played during the VGVN one. I'm not sure if you guys saw that or not. He had Void Callers and Void Terrors and Draxus and Infernals, Power Overwhelmings. Lots of ways to basically, trigger the Void Caller. You know, that sort of bit. What'd you guys think of that? It was pretty interesting when I was watching it, but I'm not sure how viable it is or not. Raynad?
Like, I feel like no matter how you build that deck, it's either going to be a bad Zoo deck or a bad Handlock deck with the same matchups as either of those decks, depending on like how far you go towards the expensive stuff or cheap card end of the spectrum. So I think it's a really weak strategy personally, and I've played with it a lot. I feel like Warlock is the class I'm most experienced with too, but yeah, I tried making it work. Voidcaller is cool, but it's just way too inconsistent, and when you play against a real deck, you just get so wrecked, like so like you have to run so above average to beat like an average draw from Token Druid or something. Like any deck that's like the hallmark of a good deck is that it's robust, so it can like catch up from behind, it can snowball when it's ahead. There isn't just like one thing that it's lacking, right? Like Shaman, for example, is lacking healing, which is why you rarely see it at the top tier of constructed. Hunter doesn't need healing because it kills them. So, like, Kill Command is the best kind of healing. You Kill Command them in the face and they're dead. So, like, basically, a deck like Hunter's robust, right? It's got answers to, like, a flood of creatures and like, single threats, like Deadly Shot, Hunter's Mark. Yeah. What were we talking about?
About the Void Caller.
Right. So this is why it's bad, because it's so all in on that one trick. It's not robust, right? It's not robust. You can't, it has, like, no answers to... You're going to play, like, two copies of Shadowflame to deal with a flood of creatures, maybe, but then, like, you can't really snowball in your head, and it's just underpowered. That's the problem. It's too hard to answer all the different situations that can come up. It's not proactive enough. Lots of problems with that deck. I don't like it, but that's me.
Okay. Trump, what do you think about that deck?
As someone who hasn't played it yet, but someone who's noted its success in some of the tournaments and has had the dream, like, he plays a Void Caller and then he kills one of my 3/3s with it, then plays a Dread Inferno, and then out comes a Doomguard and swings at my face. That's pretty terrifying. It's a pretty good snowball. I understand that's, like, a situation which they don't get all the time, and in fact is probably quite rare that they get it, but I think it's got potential. It's just that I haven't explored it enough yet.
Yeah, I haven't played enough too, but I mean, from what I've seen of it, and Reels obviously has played a lot of it, it's kind of like that Priest deck that you were talking about, Raynad, where it's like everything was comboing with each other. Was it the Priest deck that you were making? Yeah, everything seemed to have combo with each other. I think that Warlock has that element to it too, So, which makes the Void Caller a little bit more consistent, whether it's Power Overwhelming or it's Void Terror or just all kinds of things, right? And then it does have the comeback ability because it has Mullen Giants in it, too. So
my issue with it was not drawing the Void Caller, right? Because then I'm playing with Dread Infernals in my deck on purpose.
That's
and this is like a Boulder Fist Ogre with a drawback.
Okay, well, that's
true. It gets them closer to kill commanding me, and it's small and smaller than Boulder Fist. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean... Consistency definitely is.
I'm just too hard on it, probably. I don't know. His version is definitely something like 8 cards off of what I was playing, which is a huge difference, obviously.
Oh, yeah, that's a ton. But, you know, that tells you a lot about Warlock. You can build so many different decks with Warlocks, you know, even with that addition with the Void Caller. And, you know, all these tournaments, you can only choose one Warlock. So I wonder if that will ever change. You guys think the tournament formats will ever change where you can have multiple of a class?
I wish. No, that'd probably be horrible. Just play like 300 decks. It has no bad matchups.
Yeah, well, I guess there would have to be some stipulation of number of different cards. Otherwise, it would just be like sideboarding, like crazy sideboarding, or just even minor sideboarding. Okay, let's see. There was a card. Okay, here we go. Stormcrier asks, as a former MTG Pro Tour player, I miss cards like opponent discards a card. Since you can hold a third of your deck, since you can hold a third of your deck in your hand, like right now in Hearthstone, what are your thoughts on that type of text, Trump?
Well, personally, I think it's fine, and I think that it would be a good counter to stuff that needs to hold cards in their hand, like combo decks right now. Right now, the only counter to combo decks is you have to kill them very quickly before they combo. But with the discard, you could get their Force of Nature, you get their Leroy, potentially a Shadow Step. I understand that there is a philosophy right now that Blizzard holds, the Hearthstone team holds, that forcing your opponent to discard cards isn't fun. So, therefore, they're trying to avoid it. I personally have no problem with it. And I think that it could be incorporated in a way which isn't as simple as, like, a spell. The opponent discards some cards, but you have to, like, jump through some hoops, like maybe a Death Rattle effect or something. I think it could be introduced, although with a lot of, like, it would be a struggle to have the Hearthstone team implement a unfun strategy and unfun deck concept.
And fun's always been like their main priority when it comes to Hearthstone. Reyna, your opinions on that?
I agree with Blizzard on the on that philosophy of not having cards like that, but there are a million other reasons why I think that effect has no business in a card game. The big thing for me is that I agree with Blizzard. They don't want to have those kinds of effects, but they are sort of backpedaling on that philosophy. Like, they made Lotheb, which is a card that, by definition, limits what your opponent can do on their turn. They made another Fairy Dragon, which I've gone off on so many times on stream. That angers me so much. I hate that mechanic so much. Just, like, limits interaction by definition. I think it's really bad. But anyway, they don't really follow that philosophy, right? Because Lotheb is, like, a card that punishes you, or, like, hurts your opponent and stuff. So maybe they'll incorporate something like that in the future, but for those of you who haven't played with discard spells, like, picture like a one mana card, like Mind Vision. You look at your opponent's hand, you pick a card, and they discard it, right? And you take like 2 damage, right? It's a card like that in Magic. And it's a terrible effect because its text isn't they discard that card. It's they discard that card, search their deck for that card, and put it on top of their deck. And then you have a bad beat story to go off on for the next 2 hours about how you lost this game because you just made them discard it, and then they drew it immediately, and you lost because of it. Like, oh my god, I hate
it. Oh, it puts it on the top, so you actually do draw it back? Is that how it works? And
what? It's not how it's written to work, but it is how it works.
Oh, is it? Okay. I don't know.
Force of Nature, and there is a 99% chance that the card on top of their deck is Force of Nature. I guarantee you. Anyone who's played Magic will tell you that. It is beyond tilting. Their words can't describe. I hate that kind of effect. So I always play Counterspell, because they at least have to spend mana on their thingy before they top deck the second one. Oh my god, I hate Thoughtseize so much. Everything is wrong with cards. Well, Fairy Dragon is everything that's wrong with cards, but yeah.
Talk about the Spectral Knight, right? So the ability not to cast spells on it. I mean, I think the reason they did it was they wanted to force more minion on minion type of interaction or play.
There's two ways you interact with your opponent in Hearthstone. One is you attack your minion into their minion. Two is you point your spell at their minion and you kill it. Right? That's like the only interaction. 50% of interaction in Hearthstone is eliminated when those cards are printed. By definition, it says cannot on it. Like, that word is on there. It's just, like, limiting interactivity in a game. I think, like, when somebody backstabs and SIs a creature, that's, like, a cool interaction, because you're playing stuff and it's comboing with other stuff and you're interacting with your opponent's stuff, right? It's like the whole gadgets and prep solitaire that people get upset about. But, like, Tempo Rogue is, like, a very fair deck. Anyway, I think when you print cards like that, you're just... Like, it's solitaire. Somebody's playing solitaire. I don't know. I don't think it's a... I don't think when you're a priest and your opponent plays something and, like, your cards in hand just don't do anything, that I don't think that's fun for one of the players. I don't think it's a good design. And Magic takes it one step further, where the player who plays the Fairy Dragon can put pants on it over and over again, while the other player watches and takes 12 damage a turn. Like, it's like the... Oh, my God. It's the absolute worst design philosophy, and it's the reason that game went down the drain in 2012.
Like, wow. Oh, man. Those are...
Wow.
Yeah. Trump, what are your thoughts on...
I'm just saying. Picture a deck of 10 fairy dragons that are demons and can be targeted by you, and 20 demon fires. Picture that deck. And picture playing against it 10 matches in a row. Oh my God. It's so salty. You have no idea.
But you can't demon fire a...
If it was a demon dragon.
Yeah, but you can't cast a spell on it.
I said if... in Magic, you can. The player who plays it can.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's one-sided.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, God.
It used to be symmetrical.
That's crazy. Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah. The pants are more efficient in Magic. 1 mana plus 3 plus 3. Your deck can have 20 Blessing of Kings. It's like...
All right, Trump, what are your thoughts on... I mean, do you feel strongly... Do you feel like it's a bad thing, or do you not have a problem with it?
Oh, boy. Do I feel the Fairy Dragon effect is a bad thing?
Yeah, just not being able to cast spells.
Okay, so it's different in Hearthstone because you can actually attack the opponent's Fairy Dragon, whereas in Magic you can't, and that's, like, the biggest point against.
Okay, so... Oh, you can't even attack it with anything? Like...
Right, in Magic you can only attack face.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
And you start
Holy
at 20.
Holy smokes.
And you start at 20.
Wow.
And then they put pants on their creature. Okay.
They're different games. They're different.
Yeah, yeah, okay, different games. But, all right, so...
Now, about the Thoughtsteal Salt, I mean, not the Thoughtseize Salt, like, I don't think there would be anything in particular that's wrong about a card that makes your opponent discard a card. Like, they get to choose which card to discard. That would be a little bit weird because you cast it on your turn and they... like, interrupt it, so that may not work. But there's also, like, one of the cards that I would really like to see is something where you have to name a card in their hand, and then if you name right, like, they discard that card or all copies of the card. That's going to be difficult. That's very difficult to implement in a game like Hearthstone, but it would be cool. So, like, very situational discard where there is this interaction would be cool.
Wow. Yeah, that... The UI would actually eventually get to type in the name of the card, and it's a cool concept, though. Risk-reward type of thing. Definitely interesting. What do you think about just not being able to attack, and, you know, just that whole element? Not just the Fairy Dragon element. Like, do you dislike it, like it?
What do you mean, the not being able to attack your opponent's creatures thing?
No, just the Spectral Knight and the Fairy Dragon.
Just on a moral standpoint. It's not like they're OP or anything, but...
Trump's opinion on it, like...
Wait, in Magic?
No, in Hearthstone. Just do you not like that? Do you...
That they...
Yeah, do you like the Spectral Knight, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like,
I think it is more fine in Hearthstone, because they are trying, just like Lothab, they want to make the game more interactive and less solitaire. So therefore, when you have more minions on the board, there's naturally more interaction. So therefore, if you have cards which can only be dealt with minions, that encourages a more minion-based gameplay. So I do appreciate that stance.
Okay. So you kind of, you feel pretty opposite of Raynad on that. Interesting.
Yeah, it's like two different opinions. I would just gut preparation. I would make preparation cost 4 mana and have the same exact text. That would be my approach to solving the problem. Because I think that's, like, Miracle Rogue is the only deck that violates that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A deck like Freeze Mage should be allowed to exist for the sake of variety. There is an amount of interactivity with that. You can silence your own guys and stuff.
Well, now that you have Wailing Souls, Freeze Mage, I think, should absolutely be allowed. You know, like, they should allow for that to happen a lot more now. You know, whether it's unnerfing or whatever, it's just some of the cards in the past, I don't know, but they have an answer to that now. You know, just the stalling aspect, we can actually play a card now that actually breaks that or plays well against that, or just totally denies Freeze Mage. Okay, let's see, one more question. How about Jordan 28 Norris? He says, I've been using Deathlord in Zoo, and it seems like it's working well. What do you guys think about it in Zoo? And maybe if it replaces Dark Iron Dwarf, is what he says.
It's good in the mirror. I wouldn't replace Dwarf, but I would play it in that flexible, like, Shattered Sun Cleric slot with mediocre cards. Like Power Overwhelming, Void Terror, all that stuff's cuttable. Yeah, you could try it. I've played against it, and yeah, it seemed really good in the mirror.
Trump?
Really good in the mirror. I think it's weak against... I mean, it's naturally weak against quite a few things, like the Shadowward Pain, like the Slam Execute.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you'll increase your matchup against Zoo, you'll decrease your matchup against
everything else.
Decks which can efficiently remove a high cost or a high health minion, and then they sometimes will win the game. So you make the choice.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, guys, that's going to be it for the questions, but everybody, thanks for writing them in. We didn't get to quite all of them, but you know, tune in next week, and we'll definitely try to get them in. But I'm going to wrap up the show. Great show today. It's great talking about the Contra Quarter with you guys. Raynad, always a pleasure having you on. Always have some great insights on a lot of the cards and just everything, so really, really cool. You want to do some shout-outs, thank yous, last thoughts, anything like that?
Yeah, shout-out to Tempo Storm. I'm official mascot. Let's try to ignore my performances.
What?
But the rest of the guys are winning tournaments left and right, and I'm proud of them, and yeah. I think Hype's going to win BlizzCon.
Wow,
okay. Yeah, it'll be cool to see.
Awesome.
TempoStorm.com. Become legendary.
There we go. Trump?
Yeah, go TSM. And also, well, just in general, I will be participating in a few upcoming tournaments. The Well-Played Cup in a week. Next Saturday. And I look forward to seeing any viewers of Valley Town over at PAX. I'll also be there. So shout out to PAX and everyone going there and having a good time.
Awesome.
Yeah, me too. I'm actually going to that too. Yeah. That's soon, isn't it?
That's 2 weeks, I believe.
Right? 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's the end of it, August, yeah.
Yeah, you going right now?
Absolutely, yeah. It'll be really fun. Yeah, yeah. I should.
Seattle's fun too, man. You guys have a good time for sure. But I'll round things out. I'll just thank all you guys for watching today, and the VODs, of course, will be on youtube.com/championv as always right after the show. I'm going to be hosting an open tournament in tandem with Life Coach and the folks that do what used to be the Reddit Open. They've kind of renamed it now, just the kind of weekly open tournaments. So I'm going to be doing an open tournament that's going to, the winner's going to qualify for, the BlizzCon qualifiers also. And that's going to be the same weekend as the Well-Played tournament, but the actual semifinals and finals broadcast will be after Well-Played. So it's open to everybody. There's no invites. Anybody can play for it. The prize pool is going to be $1,500 too, which is like kind of crazy for an open tournament. So feel free to sign up. You can do that at HearthstoneOpen.com. Just go there and just click on the Sunshine Open, and you can enter in and try to win that. But other than that, I think that's going to be it, guys. Follow us all on Twitter at ChamMV, at TrumpSC, at Andre Yanuk. And yeah. One thing too. Next week, guys, we're going to be a little bit later. The time slot for Value Town is going to be, I think it's an hour later. It's going to be at the 3 p.m. slot. We're going to have one of the Blizz devs on just to kind of talk about the end of the NAX. Now that everything is going to come out, we're going to get a chance to talk to Probably either Ben or Eric, just one of those guys again. So it'd be great. Have your questions ready for that. You know, we've kind of seen them on some of the others talking about it before the end of it. So it'd be nice to get a kind of a maybe a postmortem on the next Remnants release and that sort of bit. So tune in for that. But until then, guys, we'll see you next week. Later.